Hi, everyone. My name is Mike Livermore. Welcome to episode 50 of the Magnify Him Together teen podcast series. This is the 8th episode of 9 with me on the subject of classic lessons for modern challenges. For today's podcast, I'd like us to begin in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4, a warning for the last days. These verses read, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God." Now these verses are a very stark warning to those in the last days of the perilous times and the spiritual threats that will come. And a few of those words that sort of struck out in combination to me are certainly the phrase, it's the last days, but that they'll be lovers of selves, boasters, proud, and without self-control. And that combination again, lovers of selves, boasters, and proud, without self-control. Those words together remind me of a trend that really sort of been on the rise since 2013, and that of the selfie. Now, we all know what a selfie is. We've probably all been in one. We've maybe taken one ourselves. It's a very popular trend that really sort of blew up around 2013, 2014, and it's still done today and probably will be for a long time. But 2 Timothy chapter 3 is telling us that this combination of behaviors is something to turn away from. Verse 5 says, "From such, turn away." And I wonder if we have perhaps sort of missed that this is a challenge, much how like the ecclesia of Laodicea, the times of Amos and Haggai, they didn't really see the spiritual threats in all the fun things they were doing. And I wonder if we have perhaps missed that if we're posting a bunch of selfies, if we're out there celebrating ourselves and sort of boasting, being proud online of our perceived beauty or the things we're doing, the food we're eating, the places we're going, I wonder if this is perhaps spiritually destructive behavior. And I wonder if we should reconsider how frequently or how often or where and what we post selfies with or of. I think it's worth considering. Perhaps the words of 2 Timothy in this warning apply to social media. And in this specific case, posting selfies. Is it good spiritual behavior? I'll leave that conclusion up to you as the listener to think in your own life. Perhaps, you know, there can be good selfies. If you're at a Bible school, you're with a bunch of your friends and fellow believers, posting that could be encouraging to other people. But perhaps some of the posts, some of the selfies we put up there are not good influences on our friends, are not helpful to the viewers. And perhaps are also encouraging in us a sense of pride, a sense of boasting, a sense of overconfidence in ourselves and our physical outward beauty. Perhaps it is not encouraging spiritual behavior and perhaps should be considered. Let's fit in a second lesson on social media into this podcast. So come with me, please, if you would, to Jude chapter 1. I'll read Jude chapter 1 and verses 20 through 23. These verses read, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." Some very important verses here on life in the ecclesia and really how we interact with each other as friends and people who are walking on the road towards the kingdom together. And the message early on in that passage was, well, you know, build each other up, keep yourselves in the love of God, and, you know, support each other, pray for each other, build each other up. Well, then what do we do, though, in the second half of that passage when people might stumble, when we might stumble and we need help, or one of our friends or family members, somebody in our ecclesia needs help? On some we have compassion. On some we try to show mercy and provide support and help. And we ourselves, I'm sure, have received mercy and support and help at times when we struggle. Other times, though, the struggle someone might go through requires them to just be fully removed from that temptation or problem. Maybe we ourselves were just overwhelmed or overcome with an addiction, a temptation, a place we were in life, and a wholesale change was required. Someone had to come pull us out of the fire, so to speak, in a figurative sense, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. This might mean sort of going cold turkey, if you will, on whatever that temptation or unhelpful lifestyle was. So sometimes we have to completely remove or have someone remove us from whatever it is that's causing us to sink or burn or lose our faith in whatever description you want to give. Well, I wonder if there's a modern day application of this principle illustrated for us in Jude chapter 1 as a fire. The key lesson here being have compassion, make a distinction, save with fear, pulling out of the fire. Well, when I'm on social media nowadays, it's certainly not hard at all to find people expressing their struggles and the things they're going through, particularly mental health struggles. And so we, of course, therefore apply compassion. And we can see in our friends where sometimes someone just needs to be encouraged. Someone needs to just talk to someone. Someone needs a little pick-me-up, and we make a distinction and have compassion, and we try to be good friends to each other. Maybe we at times have reached out for help online, and a friend or a brother and sister in Christ has helped us. But sometimes, though, there is an almost excessive and an unhealthy amount of depression and anxiety and mental health issues being shared and put out there online. And I wonder if the second half of Jude 1 applies, or maybe it's time in some cases to save with fear, pulling out of the fire, removing someone, if possible, from social media, removing ourselves, possibly, from social media. There is a study posted recently, and I'm sure one of many, where they found, it was published in the American Psychological Association's Journal of Abnormal Psychology, that over the past 10 years, major depression increased 52% amongst 12 to 17-year-olds and 63% among 18 to 25-year-olds and 70%, and generally speaking, across all young adults. And they tried to look for factors. You know, what could it be? What is the cause of this drastic rise in mental health issues? I mean, perhaps certainly part of it could be that we're just sort of diagnosing more, an issue that was overlooked in the past. Now more people are paying attention to it. That may be the case. But numbers that big can't be just simply more diagnoses for maybe an overlooked issue, but rather there perhaps is a cause. And what has changed in society in the past 10 years but social media? One study posted, a study conducted by Arizona State University, saw in 2013 a major spike in depressive symptoms in female teenagers, corresponding in 2013 to the advent of Instagram and the advent of the selfies. And we're now more and more with our physical beauty, our physical appearance being posted on social media apps, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever. It's caused a lot of anxiety, especially for young females, for teenage girls. So like, there absolutely is scientific data and studies that show that social media is a contributing factor in some cases to mental health issues. Now anyone out there with depression, with a severe mental health problem, and obviously many of us have this, it's nothing to be ashamed of, we certainly need to seek help, professional care, seek guidance, counseling, see a doctor. you know, absolutely take it seriously. And I would not say that just getting rid of social media is the cure-all for getting rid of a mental health disorder, by no means. But the data is showing us that social media is a contributing factor. And another study that took into account 506,000 teenagers, and the study took place from 2010 through 2015, they found that putting away social media, putting away technology, and replacing smartphone and electronic time with non-screen activities, including sports, exercise, homework, social interaction, even attending religious services. Who would have thought a scientific study would include that as a prescribed solution? They found that making that lifestyle change led to teenagers being less likely to develop depressive symptoms. So these studies are out there. If anyone wants more details, I'm happy to share them. But perhaps there is indication for us that the message of Jude 1 might apply in some cases to social media. That if we are struggling, going through a difficulty, whether it be mental health, depression, or any other struggle at all, there may be a time to get off of social media, to take that distraction, the temptation, that addiction out of our lives, to have people that care about us, that show compassion for us, be involved, and to help us deal with the issue, the challenge that we're facing. Perhaps social media is a modern day application for both 2 Timothy chapter 3 and Jude chapter 1, and we would do well to heed the advice of Scripture and perhaps re-examine the challenge that social media can provide us. I joined Facebook in 2006, and it used to be a lot of fun. It was a cool place to interact with friends, but what it's become now is something totally different, and it's a much more challenging, less spiritually beneficial place, and I think it's for all of us worth reconsidering our lifestyle and how much time we spend on social media, and perhaps pull ourselves out of the fire if we need to. All right, so thank you for listening. Hopefully you've enjoyed this podcast. There's one more in this series. So thank you for your time, and have a good day. Thank you.